Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Travel Department. Discover hundreds of unforgettable destinations with expert local guides.
Tweet at Miriam O'Call.
Well, best-selling historical fiction writer Hazel Gaynor joins me today in studio. Hazel left the corporate world behind her and turned to blogging initially and then to fiction. Her first novel was self-published and led to her getting picked up by an agent and then signing to HarperCollins, who have just published her 12th book. It's called Before Dorothy, and there is a Wizard of Oz connection. Hazel Gaynor, good morning to you.
Good morning. Great to be here.
Listen, give us first of all a quick outline of the book. What characters from The Wizard of Oz will we recognise in your book?
Well, Before Dorothy is my imagined story of Dorothy's, yes, that Dorothy, Auntie Em from The Wizard of Oz. So readers will absolutely recognise her, but in a very different way to maybe the woman they think about when we hear the name Auntie Em, which I think for most of us, we conjure the image from the original movie, this sepia-toned, she's quite a stern, brusque woman when she first interacts with Dorothy on the farm. And actually, when I went back to the source material, so the story of The Wizard of Oz written by L. Frank Baum 125 years ago this year, which is incredible, his clues really to who this woman was show a different, very, very, very different person. So he describes Auntie Em as having been a young, pretty wife when she first moved to Kansas, but the years and the colour had sort of left her face and she didn't smile anymore. And I thought, well, what's happened? Who is this woman? Who was she? So that was really my clue to painting a very different picture of, you know, a very hopeful young woman. And things obviously changed very drastically when her niece, Dorothy, comes to live with her. If indeed she is her niece, it's never explained in the book or the movie, which is brilliant as a novelist, you know, these gaps that you can fill in with your imagination. And it's all rooted in history. It's all rooted in real events, the Dust Bowl, the Depression era in America in the 1930s. So that was really important to me, to take Auntie Em from this sort of fantastical, mythical world that we know in The Wizard of Oz and make a very real person from her.
Were you always a huge fan of the movie growing up? Like, did you always love it?
Yes, yeah. And it's weird. I have this really clear nostalgia of watching The Wizard of Oz on Christmas Day. So growing up in Yorkshire, it was the movie that was on Christmas morning, obviously, you know, well planned to keep the kids occupied while the turkey was being cooked. So my associations with The Wizard of Oz are linked to Christmas and a time of excitement and just being absolutely fascinated by that world that we're invited into. I'd never seen a tornado. I'd never heard American accents. And then that amazing transition from the sepia to the colour. Just incredible. And that story really has stayed with me all my life. And, you know, with iterations more recently of Wicked, originally a book, then a Broadway West End play, and now the global phenomenon with Ariana and Cynthia. So it's just a story that keeps being reimagined. And Before Dorothy is my sort of step onto the yellow brick road, if you like.
No, it's a great idea. Now, why did you decide to make Auntie Em and her sister Annie, Dorothy's mother, Irish?
Yeah, so again, as I say, L. Frank Baum's original story, there's sort of few clues, I suppose, as to why she's moved to the prairie, who is Dorothy in relation to her. So I started to think about, okay, where might this story go? And researching the prairies in the early 1900s, there were lots of immigrant families who'd moved there to farm the land and lots of Irish communities. So that was an instant link. And obviously, part of my story was always going to be about home. You know, there's no place like home, the themes of home. So for me, rooting some of Auntie Em's story in Irish culture and taking her from an Irish family who had moved to a new community just made a really clear link for me from my home. And obviously I moved to Ireland from England. So that movement for me, I could sort of reflect through Emily's story. And also thinking about why would Dorothy have imagined the things she does in Oz, the, you know, the munchkins and fantastical talking animals? And that to me, again, linked back to Irish mythology and folklore. And as a little girl, if her mother, her aunt had been telling her stories based in Irish mythology, that's maybe where she would have got her imagined friends from when she goes to Oz. So partly from the, you know, the reality of Irish families settling on the prairies and linking to Chicago, another setting in the book, and obviously a lot of Irish communities there. And then that sort of the Emerald Isle, the Emerald City, a little bit of a play on that as well. So there was lots of reasons why Ireland made sense to me.
And you're known for writing this great historical fiction, but how do you go about researching this? I mean, you mentioned Chicago there. How did you become an expert on Chicago in the 1920s and Kansas in the Dust Bowl years? I mean, how do you do that?
I know, it's strange. As a historical writer, you become a little bit of kind of a historical magpie and going back to a time and a place and becoming an expert for a period of time. So whenever I can, I like to go back to the original sort of first person source material. So letters, diary entries, journals, real people's, because although this is set in history, you want it to be a relatable human story. And that's really important to me, particularly with a character like Auntie Em, to lift her out of fiction and to make her feel real and relatable. So as I say, looking at what were people doing? How were people living in those places and in those historical eras? Newspapers are amazing. Documentaries are amazing. Mm. There were documentaries made about the prairie farmers living in the Dust Bowl in the 1930s. So real-time journalism, you know, looking at how people were surviving this ecological disaster, photographs from the time. So really sort of picking up all sorts of different strands of that history to form a picture on the page for the reader. So it's fascinating. I have to really stop researching and start writing, because you could keep researching forever.
And were you interested, I suppose, in telling the immigrant story? I'm thinking that line from The Wizard of Oz, there's no place like home.
Yeah, I mean, it's the iconic line, isn't it? And it's Dorothy's longing to return home. And I guess that begs the question of, you know, what does home mean to people? What is home? And as I say, really, the research just led me into that, the lives of the prairie farmers. There were lots of European families. There were Irish families there as well. So that made sense to me, this sort of longing for home and thinking about a character like Auntie Em. If home to her has been several places, so it was originally Ireland, that's where her family are rooted, then it was Chicago, then she's making a new life with her husband in Kansas. So, yeah, and just sort of the empathy, I guess, thinking about how hard it can be to settle into a new place, to root yourself somewhere. And what do you take with you when you move? So it was a really interesting theme within The Wizard of Oz to explore within, again, the reality of the lives of the prairie farmers in the 30s.
Did you find, I think you're originally from Yorkshire.
Yes.
So is it not partly your own experience, but you now live here. So where is home for you and how did you end up here?
Yeah, so I have home, which is Kildare, County Kildare, which, you know, is my, where I've rooted myself with my husband and my now grown up children. And then I have home, which is Yorkshire, which is where I have my dad and my aunties still live. So it is, I think anybody who's left the place they grew up, whether it's a different city or a different country, it does add sort of complexity to where is home. And it's funny how when I go back to Yorkshire, you know, there is that real nostalgia and familiarity, no matter how long it is since I've been back. I'm actually back there quite often at the minute. That there are things there that will always be a part of me, even though home, my family, my heart is now in Ireland and has been for the last 25 years.
Is that because you met an Irish man?
I did meet an Irish man, yeah.
It's always the story.
Always the story.
Yeah, but it's good.
I always laugh and say I should have just made up some really outrageous reason for having moved here.
No.
But yeah, I met an Irish man, fell in love, and here I am.
They're the nicest stories.
Later.
And I know you were saying you go back a good bit, because like, you're typical of a lot of women, I think, you know, our kids are nearly grown up, our young adults, but you mind your dad as well, don't you? So you go back a lot to see your dad.
Yeah. So I'm in those classic sandwiches at the minute. A lot of women find themselves in where my children are, one's in first year of college, the other's just going into his leaving's third year. And then suddenly you start having a different challenge in life. And our challenge at the minute is helping our elderly father who lives alone in Yorkshire. So a lot of backwards and forwards, and it's an emotional challenge. It's difficult to move between those two homes. But I've actually, you know, this has been happening through writing before Dorothy, and it's been amazing how, you know, life mirrors art, as it often does, and writing about aunties and what is home. And at the same time, I've been pulled back home to Yorkshire, to that life that I left when I was 18, essentially.
Yeah. And tell me a little about your mom. I know, I think she left this world before you came here. Is that right?
Actually, a long time before I came here. Yeah, we sadly lost my poor mom when she was only 48. So me and my sister were in our early 20s. It was a very aggressive form of cancer that took her very quickly.
So sorry.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, it's a cruel, cruel disease. And, you know, I think at that age, I don't really know how you cope. You just sort of continue somehow. And that, you know, that's such a shocking event. It never leaves you, you know. So now I'm a, you know, 50-year-old woman with children of my own, and I still miss my mom. I still miss that chance to talk to her or to share those parts of my life, you know, everything in my life. My first jobs, my children, my husband, she wasn't there for. And it does have an enormous impact on you. And in a way, being back home so often, staying in my family home, my childhood bedroom, you know, and lots of photographs of mum are still around. So it's been actually really comforting going back and being in the family home, my childhood home, more often.
And I think you had lots of great aunts and do have great aunts. Did they shape your view of Auntie M in any way?
Do you know, it's funny because when I first had the idea to write Auntie M's story, I was focused on the character of Auntie M and the world of The Wizard of Oz. And then thinking about the themes, as we've talked about, of home and of family and being reconnected. I have two surviving aunts. My mum was one of four sisters, and the two who survive really, I mean, initially stepped into that role of mother at the time. So thinking about the character of Auntie M and her, how she adapts to Dorothy coming into her life, it's really mirrored a lot of what happened with me. I was older, obviously, but my auntie's filling that role of my mother, their sister. And they're fabulous women. They are just these, they're a force of nature. They're just so practical, so helpful. There's never anything needed. They've thought about it before you even realise you need something. So they're just these tough Yorkshire women, and I just love them. They're amazing.
And your two boys, they're now young adults?
Yeah, men, I think. I think they're classed as. So Max is 19, will be 20 this October, and Sam 17, turning 18 this November. So just, you know, amazing stage of life. I think all stages of parenthood are just fabulous. And it's just wonderful to see them growing up and sort of finding their own home. You know, so dropping Max to college and him starting his path with his own home and finding his friends. So the whole circle starts again.
Of life, yeah.
Yeah, you're the one leaving them in the college room and driving away, which is what my mum and dad did when I went to Manchester when I was 18. So, yeah, they're great fun, and they're eating me out of house and home through the summer holidays. So
you can never feed them enough, I find.
You can never feed them enough. Or get the washing done. Where does all the washing come from? I don't know.
It's relentless. Now, listen, you're off to the States for a book tour, including Kansas.
Yes.
You're looking forward to that?
I'm so excited. I'm absolutely thrilled to have connected with so many bookstores. I'm going east to west and going to Kansas in the middle. So I'm taking Auntie M and Before Dorothy home to Kansas, and that's going to be incredibly special. I may have to wear some ruby slippers. I don't know.
And look, are you probably not, but are you at all worried about political events in the US right now? I suppose things like the protests in LA.
Yeah, I think, you know, you have to, whenever you travel anywhere, I think it's just common sense to be aware of what's happening, where you're going. I'm keeping a very positive mindset. I'm just excited to go and talk about the book. It's been a long time coming and I've had amazing early response from readers and booksellers. So I'm excited to go and visit bookshops and readers and talk about Before Dorothy with them.
It's a fabulous book. It also looks beautiful. Hazel Gaynor, thanks for being my guest this morning. Before Dorothy is out now and published by HarperCollins. Best of luck with it and your US tour. Thanks so much for being my guest.
Thank you so much, Miriam.